It's the Triple M Rush Hour.
Knockout football live on Triple M.
Finals focus.
Finals focus in the rearview mirror to some extent. MG, Liam Flanagan and MG here for the final time reviewing the 2020 NRL Grand Final where the Melbourne Storm triumphed. And look, there's a flatness around us, MG, if we're honest.
Oh, it was bloody oath there is. Yeah, the week last week was certainly different to the feeling we've got today. But, I mean, that's sport. You know, that's what makes us keep coming back for more because, you know, with every feeling you get of joy, there's one of sorrow. Mm. And, you know, today I'm feeling that sorrow because it was an epic semi-final series. I remember counting down from, you know, then there was eight, then there was four, then there was two, and then there's one. There's one winner and one champion team, the best team on the planet are the Melbourne Storm.
Yep. 26-20, the final scoreline, but it probably flatters the Panthers, I would think. MG,
Of course.
I am going to poke at your wound somewhat throughout this chat, but yep. The Storm did to let's go from the get go. The Storm came out and did what to the Panthers what they did to the Raiders a bit last week, where they came out and they just punched them in the mouth early.
Well, if we go right back to the start of the game, it was from the kickoff that they bungled. And
oh, that's true. Yeah,
Jerome Hughes let it go. Then all of a sudden, Brinko Lee grabbed it and was going into touch, and he threw it back rugby union style. And Felice Kafusi couldn't dive on it. So Penrith had a big victory, you know, early on within the first 20 seconds. And I thought, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to, you know, really make a statement early in the grand final. And that set after that scrum was one of the worst Penrith had had this whole year. They got to their kick. Nathan Cleary put a little meek bomb up and Liam Martin tapped it back, and I think Kenny Bromwich dived on it. And that was the tempo of the game right there and then. That was, you could see, it was evident that Penrith had a lot of nerves going into it. And I suppose we kind of saw them last week against the South Sydney Rabbitohs, but kind of thought, well, they need that. But last night they were just not the same Penrith that won 17 games.
I think Freddie made mention when we spoke to him last week on the show of the cockiness that the Panthers have played with, and he liked that. And I think everybody kind of got swept up in the attitude and the confidence, arrogance, call it what you will, the cockiness of this Panthers outfit and the role that they're on, 17 straight wins. There was a moment for me, and you were sitting up in the box calling the game, and you did a fantastic job. I was sitting in the stands, and there was a moment at the beginning of the game when the fireworks were going off and everything was happening, and both teams ran out on the ground. Kenny Bromwich ran out there, and I watched him on the big screen, and he ran out there as with all the other Storm players. He looked around, took a deep breath, and went, and you heard him kind of go, whew, right, and it just like it. At that point, I thought, oh, these blokes know exactly what's required to win these games. This, you know, Cam Smith, the Bromwich brothers, Kafusi, the experience, and it's what we talked about in the lead up to the game. That big game experience and know-how is what the Storm just had over the Panthers. It sent for the entire 80 minutes.
It's funny you watch Kenny Bromwich because I was watching Jesse Bromwich do the exact same thing. A big inhale and let's go, were his words that he muttered. I was looking through Dan Ganane's binoculars at all the players and I was watching for different signs. And Penrith looked a little bit like these in the spotlight. And you're right, the Melbourne Storm, who hadn't won a grand final in the white jerseys they wore last night either. 08 and 18, they both went down, so both years. But that didn't mean much to them. They got the job done from the opening whistle. They, as you mentioned, they take that first set out where they bungled it. Well, from then on, it was just all, you know, they were poetry in motion type thing. And the methodical dissection of Penrith was evident. Up until it was about the 27th minute, it was 10-0. Then all of a sudden, the intercept and things just went from bad from worse. And you know, that was all of a sudden it was 22-0, it was half time, and I think that was it. If Pappenhausen didn't score that try after half time, when he kind of just sliced, that was probably one of the Penrith's worst defensive reads of the year, when he sliced straight through Tyro May and Cleary without being touched. That's unlike Penrith, their defence this year. So that was kind of evident, Liam, exactly what happened on the night.
The Olam try, was it a try for yours?
Yeah, it was.
Okay. What about the Cleary pass for the intercept on Vunivalu? And I think it goes without saying that you couldn't find, especially MG yourself, bigger fans of Nathan Cleary in the season he's had. We are not, you know.
Oh, he had an off game. He had an off game, mate. He's the first to say that. His first statement was, "I let the team down," and I don't think he let the team down, but he had a really quiet game.
Do you think he was trying to push it? I mean, that pass that Vunivalu spectacularly leapt up, and there's not many wingers in the game that could have done what Vunivalu did. But do you think that was just him pushing that bit too hard and sensing that and feeling like he almost had to try and not win the game but do something big early?
Yeah, but that was unlike Penrith this year. They've always gone through the guts and got a repeat set, and it's like they had a different mindset, that they had to try and score points when they didn't do that all year. They were, you know, Luai and Cleary's short kicking game was the best in the competition, but I think in these past two semi-finals, and finals like with Souths and the Storm last night, I think they only two dropouts what they made the other team do. So I think that way they kind of went a little bit away what made them get there.
Yeah.
You know, that... But yeah, he's the first to admit that, but that happens to a 22-year-old. You know, we've got to keep forgetting this kid. He's only a kid. And, I think he – look, I was watching the replay a few times now, and Vunivalu was back on the try line. So he wasn't even in Nathan Cleary's peripheral. So he read it well, Vunivalu. He knew exactly, and I'll tell you, Bellamy done his homework unbelievably because they shaped to give it the kick out, but then they threw the long ball over his head, and Vunivalu was ready.
Knew it was coming. Yeah, and as I said, there's not a heap of wingers in the game who could have taken that intercept and then gone the length of the field. You mentioned the plan of Penrith going up the guts, and they've been able to do it this year because of the performance of Fisher-Harris and Kickout and Yo and Tarmow and the Appy Korosau. Korosau was quiet. Fisher-Harris probably had as bad a game as we've seen from him for a while, but it's not all about what Penrith did, because those big boys for the Melbourne Storm were monumental.
Oh, yeah. Nelson, Asafa Solomona in particular, he folded blokes with defence. Usually he's renowned for his big rampaging bursts, but his defence last night was just, wow, sledgehammerish. Dale Finucane, when he came on, same. He was, you know, them two in particular made a point to make a beeline every time Fisher-Harris had the ball. I think they realised that Fisher-Harris was their main man as far as tempo goes, that he gets them on the front foot, that he stands in tackles, gets quick play the ball. So them two guys in particular made it their mission to make sure that every time he got the ball, they were on him, and they cut him in half a few times.
Mm. So by half-time, MG, you're looking at, what was it, a 22-0 scoreline, I think?
Yeah.
Are you...
Well, I actually identified. I was taking notes last night at the game when I was commentating. The 27th minute was when Fisher-Harris did that late hit on Brandon Smith without the ball, and he got cited for it.
Mm.
Cam Smith slotted the conversion. That was 10-0. A couple of minutes later, it was the intercept, 16-0. And then it was the Smith diving over right on halftime to make it 22-0. Then just after halftime, about 5 minutes into the second half, Pappenhausen sliced through to make the score 26-0, and that was game, set, match.
So right that there. For you was the moment where you sort of went, nah, this is...
In about 15 to 17 minutes, the game just turned on its head. And, I admire Penrith coming back and how they didn't give up at all, even the last 3 seconds when there was 13-11 and they had the ball thrown it around like the Harlem Globetrotters. Yeah, kind of, I got out of my seat and I thought, oh, here we go. Could it be golden point? So... But not really. Deep down, I knew that it was Melbourne Storm they were playing against, and that wasn't going to happen.
Did you? You're right. You talk about the comeback, 26-0 down. The atmosphere was, the air went out of the stadium when yep. amongst the crowd. Did you? Is it kind of like at that point Penrith went, well, it's a free hit now. The game's gone. We can actually start playing with.
They relaxed.
Mm.
They were more relaxed after they got behind by that much, because they knew probably deep down that was the game. And so they thought, well, let's not get embarrassed and get beat 44-0.
Yeah.
Let's do something. And they did. They did something good. They came back. It was 4 tries all in the end. And the scoreboard will tell you it was 26-20. But what it won't tell you is the real game was what was won in the first 50 minutes.
Yeah. What'd you make of the refereeing? I think... We saw Jerome Hughes sent to the bin for 10 minutes with 10 minutes to go. Brandon Smith was also sent off late, both for professional fouls. Jerome Hughes for blocking and Brandon Smith for a professional foul. What did you make of the refereeing overall?
Fine. Yeah. I had no issue. It's only human nature, Liam, to want to blame someone or something else.
Mm.
Than your own performance after a defeat, especially in a massive game like a grand final, or let's not forget last year's grand final with six to go call. Yeah. But if you want to replay that with 15 minutes to go, BJ Lalua could have passed the ball to Rapata and they could have won the game. But the cold hard facts, the Penrith played their worst game of the season at the worst possible time. They completed, at halftime, they completed 63%. By full time was only 67%, yeah. And Melbourne 80%. There's the game. That's you can't drop balls. You know the captain's challenge with Moses Leota. You know that was another turning point. There's the ebbs and flows of the game. You kind of make yourself. You kind of create the momentum of what will go your way and what way, because in the end you'll get your opportunity.
Mm.
It's just that. Yeah, I can't take blaming referees for, you know, if it was blatant and if it was just the penalty count was 13-0 or something like that, well, of course. You've got to look at the officials and say, come on, man, something's not right here. But that wasn't the case last night. As a mountain man through and through and through, I can't blame the ref for that.
I was surprised, and I know that there have been things written today. We're recording this on Monday, 24 hours after the grand final, but I know there have been things written about Cam Smith speaking to the referee after just before Hughes is sent off, and he's complaining about the penalties. And I mean, Cam Smith has done that every single game he's played since he's been the captain of the Melbourne Storm. I don't think anyone should really be surprised by that. And I imagine James Tarmow might have had similar conversations with the referee during the game as well.
Yeah,
I was surprised that the Storm CEO Dave Donaghy has made comment this morning and criticised the referees. I don't understand the benefit in that.
I don't either.
You've won the comp.
I don't either. I'd say zip it, because obviously everything's magnified in a grand final because it's the only game to commentate on. You've got all these reporters through the year, you know, up to 50 reporters all reporting on one game, so they've all got to find different angles. I get it. But, yeah, that was a weird one this morning from Donaghy to come out and bag the ref about trying to find a way to send off more players. It was a professional foul. He had to go. You know, Jerome Hughes had to go, and there was no two ways about it. Brandon Smith as well. Again, I'm not going to blame. I can't get into that debate about blaming the referees, because then it's taking away from A, Melbourne's dominant performance, and B, Penrith's below par performance.
The game doesn't exist without referees, and there's never, you know, referees. It doesn't help referees to favour a side, because they come under more criticism. Clive Churchill, Ryan Pappenhausen, what'd you make of that?
Yeah, he was in my top three. I had him, Asafa Solomona and Cameron Smith were my top three for the game, and I think some sporting agencies already paid out Cameron Smith at half time.
So this was, I was texting producer Charlie midway through the second half, and I was saying, hey, let's hit up the Melbourne Storm and see if we can get Brandon Smith on tomorrow. He was a great chat the other week. And if not, maybe Ryan Pappenhausen. I think he'll win the Clive Churchill. And Charlie texted back quite confidently saying, Cam Smith's got it locked up. And I went, okay. Literally 60 seconds later, Ryan Pappenhausen performs that acrobatic effort where he jumps 5 metres in the air sideways to knock the kick for touch back in field. And then I got a text back from Charlie straight afterwards going, maybe Pappenhausen will win. But
yeah, well, they're all moments that matter, aren't they?
But that payout thing you're talking about, I caught the train home. And I was, I had my headphones in and I was listening to you boys post game. And a bloke sitting next to me said, are you listening to the coverage? And I said, of course I am. Triple M NRL. What else would you be listening to? And he said, can you let me know who they give the Clive Churchill to? I said, of course. And he said, because I bet he put 50 on Cam Smith at $4.
Yep.
And he put 50 on Pappenhausen at $11.
Wow.
And he had got paid out for Cam Smith at halftime.
Wow.
So I'd already pocketed $200 for the bet on Cam Smith. And then when Pappenhausen won the thing,
Hey, it was even more joyous.
There's an extra $550 in his skyrocket.
Yeah, well, I think Pappenhausen definitely deserved it. He was just a joy to watch. Mm. He's just always in the game. He's so much like Billy Slater. It's scary.
Yeah,
you know, it's just scary how, you know, I don't like comparing, you know, people to great players.
No,
because Billy Slater's the best fullback I've seen play. But Pappenhausen, in his short time in first grade, has certainly just lit up the field. He lights the field up when he plays.
I think now when you add, he's now been named as part of the Origin squad as well for New South Wales, which is a fantastic reward. I think now you can actually, it's fair and not unreasonable to start talking about what Ryan Pappenhausen could become and to drop names, because he's now got a premiership and a Clive Churchill next to his name. So,
and he's a kid favourite. You know, he's a kid. All the kids love him. Mm. Kids love guys who are a little bit smaller than most of them, because they can relate to them, and they like the guys who are flamboyant and they're always in the game. And that's definitely was definitely Billy Slater, and it's definitely Darren Lockyer before him was a similar, and it's definitely Pappenhausen.
Kids love Preston Campbell back in the day as well. Yeah. And the importance of Pappenhausen, I know this might be hurting Panthers fans to be listening to this, but the Melbourne Storm being a rugby league team in an AFL-dominated city need to have identifiable players for the fans, for people to attach themselves to, because it's not natural for them to just want to follow rugby league. So they need, and they need players to, you know, be 100%. Drawn to. And over
like cartoon characters.
Exactly. And over the years with Kronk and Slater and Smith, they've been very blessed with those players.
Well, before that they had Folau and Inglis.
There you go. So they've had
Marcus Bai.
There you go. So they've had these players in since the club's been down there. But now with Slater gone and Kronk gone and Smith probably going, it's so important that alongside Cam Munster, there's another marquee type player that the kids can say, oh, mum, dad, I want a Melbourne Storm, and you know, I want a number one, or I want Ryan Pappenhausen. Can I get a stupid haircut like him?
But conversely, talking about how small Pappenhausen is, you can't tell me either that all the kids in Melbourne, in particular, don't love this giant called Nelson.
Oh, please!
You imagine them meeting him after a game, going, oh, what? Well, he's a Hulk.
He's literally the biggest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, he's just a monster. He had a picture of his everyone got their rings and they were in their goggles last night, and because the champagne doesn't hurt their eyes, which is a real NBA thing, but who cares? And Nelson had his on his little finger and he got past the first knuckle. I said, oh, poor bugger needs some adjustments on that.
It was like
he's
the
just
first
a
time,
massive man.
It was like the first time my 3-year-old met you. Yeah, and she came and said, Dad, MG's a giraffe. She thought you were the tallest thing she had ever laid eyes on. Right, so we get to the end of the game, 26-20, Pappenhausen, Clive Churchill medalist. I thought Cam Smith's speech.
Yeah.
I get, you know, classy. I don't like the booing, especially at those moments, but people are going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But I thought his shout out to Victoria was just fantastic and really classy. But still no retirement announcement.
No, I don't expect there would have been. I don't think he wanted to make it all about him, and I don't think he'll make it all about him for a while. I think we won't hear about. I think he's going to retire. You can't come back after that. That's the best fairy tale you can have. I know he's got a book out in November.
Yes,
which could be some irony in that. but yeah, look, that's as far as the premiers go. They deserve their title last night, and I think for Penrith, being such a young team and going through the highs that they did for so long, obviously looking back in retrospect, it would have probably been good for them to have a couple of chinks in the armour through the year.
Have a few more hits.
Just a couple more hits. Just, you know, one or two others, just maybe a 28-0 or something drubbing against someone, just to let them know this is how it feels when you're getting beat.
Yeah,
and how you got to fight back. But I thought I thought last night, Dylan Edwards tried hard. I think Brent Nader when he came on was good. I think obviously that's another. Stephen Crichton when he got the ball.
Yeah.
First half he never touched the ball. They kept giving it to Billy, Kikau and Crichton was getting a cold. But when he got the ball in the second half with the room, he just was dangerous every time he got it. I'm thinking, well, replay this game again, and you get it. Obviously you get a different result, but you can't do that, but. It was just so unlike Penrith that game last night. It wasn't them. It was just, they kind of froze, I think, and it's, we lost one in 1990 and we're so different the next year. Let's hope the Penrith of 2020 are so different to the team of 2021.
That is the exciting part, MG, as you mentioned, that the young core of this Penrith team is one that has built through over the years. They're so used to winning things, and you just hope that they take the lessons out of the loss into this next preseason, and they come back stronger, and they come back with a renewed sense of hope and expectation and what it takes to really compete at that level and possibly competing against a Cam Smithless Melbourne Storm next year.
Well, we saw Canberra, didn't we, do it this year without their best player in Hodgson and almost get there. So if Penrith can stay fit and healthy, and there's no reason why they can't be there again next year.
Outstanding. All right, there it is, the grand final wash-up. Look, the feeling's down, as you'd expect, but that's okay, because we're big
boys. The words are still coming out. The words are still coming out, but they're coming out a lot harder because it's done. It's a big, big letdown when you think something else is going to happen. I must admit, in the week leading up to the game, I pictured nothing but Penrith lifting the trophy. I didn't even picture Cameron Smith picking it up. I was that confident. Mm. But they were classy. They were epic last night, the Storm, and they deserve it.
Well, here's some cold comfort for you, MG. I know for a fact that they've got a replica trophy with them back in the Sunshine Coast camp. The original stays here in Sydney, so they're technically they're only parting with a replica.
Oh, that's...
Doesn't do much for you?
No, that's no consolation. Replica, Schmecklicker. They've still got a trophy.
Schmecklicker.
They've still got their goggles and they've still got their rings.
Well done, Melbourne Storm.
Well done, boys.